Welcome to Locomotion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm thrilled to bring you some sound bites from Zimbabwean ecologist Alan Savory from the recent 9th Annual Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum. This year's event was held virtually, and as an attendee and a reporter, I have to say that I was impressed. Alan Savory was born in Zimbabwe and educated in South Africa. In the 1960s, he made a significant breakthrough in understanding what was causing the degradation and desertification of the world's grasslands ecosystems, and as a resource management consultant, worked with numerous managers on four continents to develop sustainable solutions. In 1992, Alan Savory and his wife Jody Butterfield formed a nonprofit organization in Zimbabwe, the Africa Center for Holistic Management. And in 2009, Savory, Butterfield, and a group of colleagues co-founded the Savory Institute in Boulder, Colorado, to serve the world through an international network of entrepreneurial innovators and leaders committed to serving their regions with the highest standards of holistic management training and implementation support. Alan did a TED Talk in 2013 that has received over 7 million views, and in 2014 was voted one of the 50 most intriguing TED Talks of all time. Alan Savory spoke for about 90 minutes at the 9th Annual Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum. I've done my best to condense his presentation into this 30-minute program. Here is Alan Savory.
Without agriculture, we cannot have an orchestra, a church, a university, a government, army, city, or any business. And the only economy that can sustain any city ultimately has to be based on food. In other words, the photosynthetic process of green plants growing on regenerating soil. Now, no business or economy is sustainable until agriculture is sustainable, and neither is any city. Now, despite this self-evident fact that everybody should understand, when Alan Greenspan, the head of the Reserve Bank in the United States, retired and wrote his biography, I read all of it to try and see how he thought, and he mentioned agriculture once in passing. Economists, who weigh heavily in their expertise advising politicians developing policy, so deep is the ecological illiteracy that they report that US agricultural production is less than 1% of GDP. And when we add the related industries of marketing and service chain all along, it rises to about 5% of GDP. Now, those countries in the world in which agriculture features highest in their GDP are considered by World Bank economists to be countries too poor to sustain their economies. None of this makes sense. Now, American agriculture, producing far more dead eroding soil than food, is the most destructive industry ever in history. More destructive than mining or fossil fuels as we face global warming, global desertification, mega fires, climate change. It is no exaggeration to say that climate change, in which agriculture is playing a major role, is not the beginning of our problems, it's the beginning of the end. Now, more than 20 civilizations have failed in all regions of the world because of agriculture in the past. And now the threat is globally to civilization. So what is your role as farmers? What can you constructively do? That's what I want to talk about today. The youth of today is quite rightly demanding that political leaders take action against climate change. But what action? Using our common sense, we all know that if we have any problem, we cannot solve it without addressing the root cause of the problem. So what is the cause that politicians have to address? Is the desertification and accelerating change in climate caused by some act of God? Of nature? Something out there? No evidence of that. In that case, the only other possibility would be something on earth is causing it. Now, for thousands of years, we have denied our role while blaming livestock overgrazing for causing desertification. And during my lifetime, we have denied our role while adding fossil fuels as well as livestock to the things we blame for causing the problem. In the last year, almost all scientists have finally acknowledged that humans are causing climate change. To this, there is only one possible conclusion. If we are causing it, then management is the cause. How we make the decisions governing our actions on the farm or at government, and not our resources, be they livestock, coal, or oil, is the problem. None of our resources are the problem.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and on this program, we're featuring some of Alan Savory's recent presentation from the 9th Annual Colorado Food and Farm Forum. It was held virtually on January 22nd and 23rd. Stay tuned to hear more from Zimbabwean ecologist Alan Savory and his hope for humanity in holistic management.
While the things we make or produce can be produced independent of one another, you can produce corn or meat or whatever independently of other things. None of the things we manage, human institutions, nature, and economy, can ever be separated. They are always managed together as one. So organizations, including businesses, from family farm to large corporation, cannot be managed without simultaneously managing nature and economy. Something that we failed to recognize till about 1984, when the USDA commissioned me over 2 years to put 2,000 scientists and economists through a week of training on the holistic management framework that we were developing. Now that we know that management of institutions, nature, and economies is the root cause of agriculture playing so great a role in climate change, let's look at these two scales of management a little more deeply. First, the human level of you, the farmers. You can, like all humans, choose to ride a bicycle to work or change the light bulbs. That means you can choose what to produce and how to manage your business, cash flow, and farm. In other words, nature's soil and biodiversity. However, while this is theoretically true, in practice, it is not. This is because government policy controls the economic, legal, and regulatory environment in which you farm or ranch. So let's look at the second level of American mainstream agriculture. We manage nationally through institutions, government, corporations, university, American Farmers Union, American Cattle Beef Association, and agriculture at this scale is overall managed by politicians in Washington developing American agricultural policy. And that results in laws, regulations, taxes, subsidies, research influence that largely dictate to you farmers both what you produce and how you manage nature and your farm's economy. Now, as we look at American agricultural policy, let's just use a little bit of common sense. Cattle that evolved to eat grass have teeth of herbivores. They have a gut microbiome and a digestive system to do so. Yet most farmers feed grain to cattle, harming the health of the cattle, the health of humans, the environment, and the economy. Let's use common sense again. No sane person would produce oil to grow corn to produce fuel. But roughly 40% of US corn is being grown by farmers to make fuel. Let's use another bit of common sense. Agriculture that was based on the evolving biological and ecological sciences should not be based on chemistry and marketing of technology. But the vast majority of farmers are doing so, destroying the very foundation of the nature, nation, its economy, and its cities. Now, with such things being so obvious, self-evident, common sense, why, we have to ask ourselves, are such practices supported by thousands of farmers, by the National Farmers Union, the American Cattlemen's Beef Association, academics, celebrities, billionaires, banks, funding foundations, taxation, subsidies, laws, and regulations. The answer to that question took me half a century, 50 years, to understand. It is because we manage nature and economies at this scale through institutions that are themselves things we manage that are complex with wicked problems. There is the reason.
You're tuned in to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I virtually attended the 9th Annual Food and Farm Forum on January 22nd and 23rd. We're listening to Zimbabwean ecologist Alan Savory's presentation on Hope for Humanity in Holistic Management. The full session is about 90 minutes long, and you can find more information at foodfarmforum.org. Stay tuned for a bit of a deep dive on regenerative agriculture from the Savory Institute's founder and president, Alan Savory. Thanks for tuning in to Local Motion on KVNF.
Institutions, no matter how caring, wonderful, or intelligent, or perfect the human beings managing them, institutions do not behave like a human being. Where you are capable of using common sense, institutions full of highly intelligent people are almost incapable of doing so. Where you are capable of admitting you did something wrong, an error, an institution is almost incapable of doing so and will go against its very purpose that it was formed for, to defend the institution. And they resist such discoveries for one, two, or three centuries. Nothing has changed since Galileo and Copernicus. You, as farmers like myself, and thousands of people in the regenerative agriculture movement, are operating at the human scale. We are calling for changes in agriculture, mainly poorly defined regenerative agriculture, but sensibly based on the biological sciences. We represent a very low percentage of the agricultural industry, and an even more minute percentage, less than one-tenth of the 1% of agricultural production in the US GDP, according to economists advising political leaders. Now, throughout our regenerative movement, writers, artists, documentary filmmakers, bloggers, podcasters, food and health experts, farmers and ranchers, we are managing at that human level, and we're doing everything we can to shift public opinion to the level where we are at least at the policy table, advising political leaders in Washington, developing American farm policy. We represent a tiny little David putting all of our faith in changing agricultural policy through shifting public opinion. I and the Savory Institute and the many people collaborating in our ecological outcome verification program, our land to market program, we are doing everything we can to ensure consumers that your products are truly regenerative, support you in this magnificent effort so vital for the future. Now, opposing our view in Washington is Goliath, over 90% of the agricultural industry, as far as I can make out, a 90% that is investing about $350 million a year on lobbyists who are already greenwashing regenerative agriculture, prostituting academics and researchers, and indoctrinating the public. All of this and more, funded again, I remind you, by ecologically illiterate billionaires, corporate boards, and CEOs who, while vilifying livestock, are now investing millions of dollars in manufacturing artificial meat. And almost all of this policy influence of Goliath is bought with money in an economy that is built on debt and a foundation of quicksand, an economy built on a foundation not of agriculture and food, but on hedge fund management, selling short, futures trading, derivatives, stocks, real estate bubbles, high-tech startups, or currency exchanges, unable to sustain any city, business, or culture ultimately. We, tiny little David, face Goliath, and we need to remind ourselves that our entire movement, and I include writers, documentary producers, podcasters, artists, there are many people in our movement, the chefs, the health food proponents, farmers, ranchers, you, we are calling for agricultural practices to be changed. None of us in our entire movement are calling for government to address the root cause of agriculture playing a major role in climate change. The cause of the problem is how politicians develop policy. There is no other cause at this scale. That is undeniable logic. Some of us are calling for our practices that we favor based on biological sciences to be noticed by the politicians enough to go to scale through changing public opinion. Others, let's say 90%, are insisting on their practices, and they are so well funded by institutions that they bypass the public opinion and dominate the Washington political lobby. How long will it take, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, to get to the policy table in Washington as equals with Goliath? And when we get to the policy table, how will we do any better when we have only got expertise in production based on the biological sciences and no expertise in how to develop policy managing institutions and through them, nature and economy?
You're tuned in to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and we're listening to a presentation by Zimbabwean ecologist Alan Savory from the 2021 Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum.
We need to have the humility to acknowledge that 20-odd civilizations in all regions of the world have already failed because of their agriculture damaging the environment. Many of these civilizations had simpler economies based on charter, trade and barter. They had smaller institutions and populations, and everything they produced was organic and grass-fed that we call sustainable today. They failed, as Rebecca Costa wrote in her book, The Watchman's Rattle, because their societies could not address the complexity of rising population and deteriorating environment due to agriculture. They failed for the same reason we now face global failure of civilization. Now, this is not a doomsday talk. I don't give those sort of talks. So let me talk about what we can do that would result in sound agricultural policy truly regenerating the economy, society, and nature. What could we do? I know that you and every American, like every human, wants a better life, better education and health, cleaner water and air, healthier food, more prosperity, with a brighter future for your grandchildren. Now, if agricultural policy is not developed in a context like that, and it continues to be developed influenced by special interest lobbies, then you and I know that the future of our grandchildren is one of violence and suffering unimaginable today. So my suggestion to you is that you continue doing everything you are doing so well today. Whether you're a farmer, a rancher, filmmaker, writer, chef, podcaster, or you have a Facebook page supporting soil, building soil, I urge everyone in the regenerative movement to keep doing what you are doing to change public opinion. Now that us scientists have acknowledged that management is the cause of climate change, I urge you simply to call for congressional inquiry and testimony, for Congress to look into the management that is the root cause of desertification, megafires, and climate change. a chance for political leaders to learn what institutions have been blocking for decades. Why do our leaders not know that some of the worst land in the nation, demonstrating biodiversity loss and desertification, contributing climate change, is land managed by the Federal National Parks Service? Global desertification, megafires, and climate change should have been put on a war footing decades ago. This issue is even more serious than the COVID pandemic. We need to help political leaders, not criticize them, as we unite to face climate change. While all we are doing to shift public opinion is wonderful, I believe we can do better and faster by regenerative farmers, ranchers, supporting writers, etc., our whole movement concentrating on achieving congressional inquiry as the trim tab in American democratic society. The decision is going to be yours. Keep doing what you're doing and expect success with a lot of luck within maybe a century. Or keep doing what you're doing, but concurrently bring about congressional inquiry into the cause of American agricultural policy leading to desertification, megafires, and climate change. Now, a significant side benefit will be that if this is done, it will also alert political leaders how to develop not only agricultural policy, managing nature, but also energy policy, producing energy from nature so unsuccessfully today. For the sake of future generations, I hope you will heed the wisdom of the revered American scientist Buckminster Fuller and put serious and urgent effort into moving the trim tab in the US political system so that future generations can have hope more sensible than praying for a high-tech solution or billionaires offering multi-million dollar prizes for carbon sequestration, geoengineering, the climate, or colonizing space.
You've been listening to Hope for Humanity in Holistic Management, a presentation by Zimbabwean ecologist and farmer Alan Savory. This audio was provided by the Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum from their recent 9th annual virtual forum. Alan took some questions following the presentation, and a few of our local KVNF listeners even had a chance to ask some questions relevant to Western Colorado. One of the questions asked was, how should local producers move forward with or without big ag or conventional ag, and how can we as producers push the regenerative ag agenda? We'll hear Alan Savory's answer to these questions, and stay tuned for more Q&A from Alan Savory's presentation on Hope for Humanity in Holistic Management. We'll also be hearing from Harrison Topp, one of the organizers and chair of this year's Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum.
You don't want to exclude Big Ag. You don't want to exclude any university, the USDA, the World Wildlife Fund, or any of these people. You want them to come and give evidence. You must hear everybody's point of view. What is happening, and has happened for a long, long time, is those institutions have silenced independent scientists, etc. We just got to stop that. So you've got little David and Goliath, and Goliath is silencing David. Just if you try to get these to equal, where they can both be heard through public opinion, that we know from research can take 200 years or more. It took 200 years just to get the institution of the Royal Navy to accept that lime juice would stop scurvy. A million sailors died. It was vital to Britain's future. Royal Navy, led by brilliant men, that took 200 years. And then the Merchant Navy, led by brilliant men, it took them another 70 years. Nothing has changed. That's how institutions behave. So you want the institutions to come and give evidence. Make it public. So that all the public and the lawmakers begin to understand. And then also, individuals within those institutions can start to give evidence.
AJ has a great question. AJ Carrillo asks, do you have any suggestions for how to benefit the public image of regenerative agriculture most effectively? What methods do you see having the most positive leverage to make that change?
I have no skill in that area, and you know there are people with far greater skills than me on how to do that. What I would say, though, is that I'm very, very worried at the moment, because not only are institutions beginning to greenwash, but they just people in regeneration are demeaning the word. So today, we're not just talking of regenerative agriculture, we're talking of regenerative tourism, regenerative this, regenerative that. The word is just being bandied around. And almost everybody I talk to and just say to them, what is agriculture? They have no idea. They talk about crops and livestock. That's not agriculture. It's only a part of agriculture. Agriculture is the production of food and fiber from the land's worlds, land and water. The whole planet virtually is now engaged in agriculture. And only 6% of the surface is cropland. So 94% of agriculture is not cropland, the surface of the earth. And if we look at the land area of the earth, it's only 20%. So 80% is not crop, non-crop land. So forestry, wildlife management, all of these things are agriculture that we need to be paying attention to. Fisheries, all of these things. How many people in the regenerative agricultural movement are talking about the fisheries and the oceans? I don't ever see it. We're demeaning the whole thing. So we're part of the problem too. I don't know how to deal with this. I mean, I've been struggling all my life to learn and understand what I've told you today.
Alan, I think I'd like to kind of follow that up with a question that seems to be an amalgam of a few different questions from the audience. Just in terms of the Savory Institute and the work that you guys are doing right now, what do you feel like most exciting or most hopeful in the work that you're currently doing?
We, like everybody, are doing the best we can. It's to get new knowledge into society. It's extremely difficult. It's never, ever been done under 2 to 3 centuries when the new knowledge goes against human beliefs. And long ago, we took a strategy of, rather than try to do too much at once and cause confusion, we took a strategy of focusing on the world's grasslands where livestock are needed to deal with droughts, desertification, megafires, etc. And to focus on that, because when the first country begins to actually deal with climate change, which no country in the world is yet doing, right, because nobody is attacking the cause, when they do, the area where globally we'll get the highest return for the least effort and the most benefit politically, economically, climate change, everywhere, is the grasslands. So we're focusing on that, our hubs are focused on that, etc. But concurrently and simultaneously, we've kept trying to alert people to the real problem and the policy level. And at our conference this year, we took the decision to put more emphasis on the policy, because otherwise we'll feel good, we'll make great progress, and even if we made 10 times the progress over the next 50 years, we still, as I said in my talk, we'll be at the policy table and nobody will be talking about how to develop policies dealing with institutions, nature, and economy. How many people in the regenerative agriculture are talking about the economy in it? We're only talking about agricultural practices. So our chance of success, unless we change emphasis, that worries me a lot. And now I speak personally, you know, I'm 85 now, and I might look all right, but I run on spare parts and batteries, thank God for technology. But I've only got a few more years left, and I'm more worried now for young people than I've ever been in my life. So the remainder of my life, I would just do everything I can to get us to focus on the cause.
That was Alan Savory, Zimbabwean ecologist and featured speaker at the 9th Annual Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum. You can find more information and speaker sessions at foodfarmforum.org. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Visit kvnf.org for more original programs like Local Motion, and thank you for listening.